Perhaps you heard the story about the man from the back mountains of Tennessee who found himself for the first time in a large city. And as he stood outside an elevator in a hotel, he noticed that there was an old lady who hobbled into the elevator and the doors closed. After a few minutes, the doors opened and a young, beautiful woman walked out. Father hollered to his youngest son, "Hey, Billy, go get Mama." All the old ladies are saying, "I'm not going to laugh." Praise the Lord. But friends, how often our purpose in life centers around the things the world values most: youthfulness, a beauty, extreme makeovers, having fun, money, material things, and so on. That's what the world values most. I was reading about the American journalist Dan Rather. I think that's how he says his name. I would have said Rather, but it's okay. He had an interview with country singer Dolly Parton. He said to Dolly, "God made you pretty." And Dolly replied, "Yeah, but I helped him." Dolly admits to having some work done to her features. She said, "I had lots of work done. I've had, and I will have more when I need it." She said, "If I see something sagging or bagging or dragging, I'm going to nip it, stretch it, tuck it, and sanction it." Suction it. Suction. Not sanction. Sorry.
Sanction.
Yeah. She said, "Whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. I like to think of myself as a show horse. I'm in the business." And she said, "I like to look a certain way." Well, friends, you know what? There's only so much that money can do. Money cannot buy back youthfulness, nor can it buy eternal happiness. Without the Lord, there will always be a void in people's lives. And that's the way God created us. I read about Oprah. Now, I like Oprah. But you know what? I read that she had a show on the meaning of life a while back. At every break in the show, she would say, "Now come back, because we are going to tell you your purpose." But by the end of the program, she was no closer to discovering life's purpose than she was at the beginning. And finally, as the credits at the end of the show started rolling, she looked squarely at the camera and said, "Remember, you've got to figure it out yourself." What a letdown, eh? Perhaps this is why Frank Sinatra sang the song, "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way." You know that people love to live by Frank Sinatra's theme, "I did it my way." Or perhaps Burger King's logo, "To have it your way." Most people want it their way, and they want everything in life their way. Overall, friends, The purpose of life for most people is world-centered. It is yeah-now-centered. It is money and material-centered. It is play and pleasure-centered. But friends, I'll say it again. Without the Lord in our lives, there will always be a void, a dullness, a lack, a lifelessness. I read a true story about six-year-old Tommy, who called his mother from his friend Charlie's house. Apparently, him and Charlie were playing in the living room at Charlie's house, tossing a football, when they broke the lamp. Tommy told his mother she was fed up, she was mad with him. And he attempted to comfort her with these words. "But Mom," he said, "you don't have to worry about buying another one. Charlie's mother said it was irreplaceable." Irreplaceable. Well, we all know what that meant. It was obviously a valuable piece in the living room. Perhaps it was a family heirloom, or perhaps it was an antique worth thousands of dollars, but whatever the reason for its value, it was irreplaceable, it was priceless. But in the mind of six-year-old Tommy, the term irreplaceable meant you don't have to replace it. Do you see that? To him, you don't have to replace it. It had value as long as it worked. But as far as Tommy, you don't have to replace that. Friends, I came across one of the great contrasts between the way the world thinks about mankind and the way God thinks about you and I. The world says that man is one step above the apes. In this viewpoint, as far as the world, is that we are an occurrence. We are something that just happened. That we are not created in the image of God. That we are an accident. That we are evolving. And that we are the offspring of randomly assembled molecules. And because we are seen as that, it questions the idea that we have any purpose in this life. It calls into question the idea of whether we have any value outside of what we can do. You know, when you meet someone, I don't know if you notice, within the first 3 minutes they want to know, what do you do? Right? Because they want to see whether you're valuable. We like a lamp broken by a boy. We only have true value as long as we function. But God says, that's not true.
Amen.
Amen. You all say, well, I wonder. No, God said it's not true. God says we aren't just one step above apes. God says we are one step below angels.
Yes.
Come on now. Everybody's frowning. Come on. Anyway, I just a little bit of African blood to flow. I'm just having a lot of fun. Praise the Lord. In the beginning, when God created the world, he said in Genesis 1:26, it's not on the screen, you know it, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Of course, that is reference to the Trinity. Friends, God did not say that about anything else he created. Do you agree?
Yes.
He didn't say that about the sun and the moon. He didn't say that about the great beast of the fields or the birds of the air. Later in scripture, the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 verse 7 that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. It's your breath in our lungs. God didn't do that with anything else he created. When God wanted something created, he simply spoke the word. If he wanted an elephant, he spoke it and there it was. If he wanted the stars in the sky, he merely said the word and they appeared. But when God created man, he got down on his knees, he got his hands dirty, and he breathed into a piece of muddy clay, and it became a living, breathing creation made in the image of God in his likeness.
Amen.
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 Now, why did he do that? Why did he go through all this elaborate ritual? Why wouldn't he do some, just speak the word? Why didn't he just say, hey, man? And man would have been formed. No. He had already done that with the rest of creation. But only with man did he get down on his hands and knees and bring us life. Why? Why would he do it that way? Because he wanted you, people like you and I, friends, to know that we are created in his image. We are valuable because he made us valuable. We are like nothing else he created. And our value goes beyond what we can do. God doesn't say, hey, what are you? I'm a teacher. Oh, okay, yeah, you're good. No, our value goes beyond what we can do or what we can contribute. You and I don't need to function in order to be valuable to God. You and I are valuable simply because he made us valuable. Amen.
Amen.
Now, just because we don't have to do something to have value doesn't mean that we don't have something to do. Hey, wait, this man is getting somewhere now. Right? Just because we don't have to do something to say how valuable we are doesn't mean, friends, that we don't have something to do. And that something to do is called purpose. Purpose. When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he did was to give them purpose, responsibility. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. There's your purpose. God did not make Adam and Eve to simply stand around and look pretty. God gave them a job to do, and when God created them, he created them to do great things. He created them with purpose. We have children, many of us. When they were born, did we say, wow, I hope they grow up to learn how to live off mom and dad all their lives? Or did you look at your little baby and say, well, I sure hope they learn to be good at video games, because that's what I really want them to do when they grow up? No! course not. We hope that they will live life, their lives were fruitful, that they will be full of purpose. Besides, they are made in our image. How many people looked at your children and said, you're the splitting image of your father. You're the splitting image of your mother. I might not know exactly what God's plan is for our life. Last week we spoke about the plans that God has for us. He said in Jeremiah, it's not on the screen, he said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and plan and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. These are the plans God has for you." But I do know something, friends. This one thing that I know for certain is that God has a purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for your life. He has something He wants you to do. In fact, if you are a Christian, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You have something to do. You have a purpose, friends, a valuable task that lays before you. Now, I can just picture some of you in your minds. You're thinking, yeah, sure, right. He doesn't know me very well. He doesn't know how weak I am. He doesn't know how insignificant I feel. He doesn't realize that I don't know how to do anything for God. Well, if you're thinking that, you're right. I don't know. But God knows. Yet, He still has a purpose for your life. He still has a purpose for your life. Let me tell you, for all those who feel insignificant, in 1972, NASA launched an exploratory, is that what I said? Exploratory space probe, Pioneer 10, they call it. According to Leon Jarf in Time magazine, the satellite's primary purpose, the satellite's mission, was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, and beam data to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan, for at that time, no Earth satellite had gone beyond Mars. And they feared that the asteroid belt will destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its purpose and much, much more. In November of 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed towards the edge of the solar system, further and further away from the sun. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At about 2 billion miles, it passed Uranus. At nearly 3 billion miles, it reached Neptune. And then it attained Pluto at almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite this immense distance, friends, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. It had continued to accomplish the purpose for which it had been designed long after anyone thought it should have been able to. Time magazine continued. Perhaps most remarkable, those signals originate and come out of an 8-watt transmitter. An 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about the same power as a bedroom nightlight. And it takes these signals that is coming from this 8-watt transmitter. It takes those signals 9 hours to reach the Earth. The little 8-watt transmitter wasn't a very powerful piece of equipment. In fact, you might say that its power was insignificant. However, it was designed to be a part of a piece of equipment worth millions upon millions of dollars. It accomplished phenomenal things, in spite of the fact that it had little power, because it had been designed by a creator for a purpose. And it succeeded because it was fulfilled, because it fulfilled that purpose. Friends, don't think of yourself as insignificant and unable to fulfill your God-given purpose. You have been designed by our Creator. Amen? You have been designed for a purpose. You know, Bertrand Russell was born into a Christian family and taught to believe in God. But he rejected his upbringing and became an outspoken atheist. His daughter, Catherine Tate, said of him, "Somewhere at the bottom of his heart, in the depths of his soul, there was an empty space that once had been filled by God, and he never found anything else to put in it." Friends, nothing can fill the space in our lives that God longs to fill. He alone saves and satisfies the innermost longing of people. His purpose must be a priority in our lives in order to have any fulfillment at all in life. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We all need to understand the Lord's will, or the Lord's purpose for our lives. If we claim to believe in God, we must seek to understand His will. We must seek to understand His purpose for our lives. Life begins with Him and ends with Him. And so it is perfectly right to put Him in between the beginning and the end. Ephesians, we said that Ephesians, I've got it up on the screen here. One major purpose in life is to know Him through His Son, Jesus. One of the major purposes in life is to know Him through Jesus, His Son. And to know Him is to love Him and to serve Him. Friends, this is our purpose in life. For those who are on Zoom, those in the sanctuary, and those who are watching from other places, listen. It's not about being religious. It's about fulfilling your God-given purpose. And your purpose is to know God, to love Him, and to serve Him. The Lord Jesus lived a different kind of life. He came to seek and to save the lost. His interest was in people. His life centered on people. He went about doing good and healing all people who were under the power of the enemy. Jesus blessed the little children. He soothed the hearts of hurting people. He taught people about right living and the true and living God. John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and you have it to the full. You may have it more abundantly. Amen. Friends, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus may well have faced his greatest struggle in life. Do I submit to the will of God, my Heavenly Father, or do I do my own thing? We know that Jesus prayed in Matthew 26, 39, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus' normal human nature said, please, Father, I don't want to go through the suffering on the cross. I can't do it. But he was open to the Father's will. Nevertheless, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my purpose, but your purpose for me. The greatest thing that any of us can do in this life is to say, God, not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but thy will be done. God's purpose for you and I is to know him, to love him, and to serve him. God's purpose should be our most important pursuit in life. Above all, more than anything, we should seek God's purpose for our lives. I want to conclude by saying, I was reading about this fellow here on the Google. At the age of 15, John Goddard, or something like that, made a blueprint for his life at the age of 15. He set down 127 goals for himself. They included things such as, I want to retrace the route of Marco Polo. I want to ride in a submarine. I want to take off and land an airplane. I want to climb Mount Everest, Mount Kilimanjaro, and the Matterhorn. I want to explore the Nile River and the Amazon River. I want to visit the Great Wall of China, the Eiffel Tower, and the Tower of London. And you know, but by 1985, at the age of 59, he had accomplished 107 of those 127 goals, including the ones just mentioned. Now, friends, it's okay to have goals in life. But the most important of all is to pursue the purposes of God in life. Amen. Amen. Regardless of what you aim for in life, don't miss out God's purpose. Paul said it very well in closing. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Praise the Lord. Father, help us all that we may fulfill the purpose you have for us. Help us all. No one has arrived, no sir. We all have purpose to fulfill. purpose that you have for us, Lord. May we start by seeking you, Lord. Getting to know you, Lord. Loving you, Lord. And serving you, Lord. This is what I pray for the church. For every one of us. But for those who don't know you yet, help them to come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. Help them to come to that saving place where they would receive you as Lord and Savior. Lord, help us never to put our faith in a building or another person down the road. No, sir. Help us, Lord, to put our faith and trust in you. And, Lord, to receive the plan and purpose that you have for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.